Welcome to this week's podcast from Planet Shakers in Melbourne, Australia. For more details, check out planetshakers.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
I want to talk to you today about a woman who was having some challenges. You may relate because you may be challenged right now. She was having all kinds of problems in her personal relationships. She had a problem in her marriage. She was in a marriage where she didn't feel loved. I don't know, you know, I think the worst part in life would be to feel, to not feel loved. To go through the motions of a union and a relationship but not feel the depth and the intimacy and the power of the relationship at its core level where you feel love, where you feel the kind of love that every human being deserves from a husband and wife relationship. And this woman was a tired person. She'd been striving for some time and under difficult circumstances to connect with her estranged husband. They were living in the same house, but they were not living the same life. He was living with his passions in other directions. In fact, he loved another woman more than he loved her. And so she was stressed and struggling, and so she tried to fix the problem. And I don't know about you, but how often do we find ourselves trying to fix our problems just with the resources we possess in our mind or in our intellect or in our past history? And finding that to come short so often of God's best and not seeing an answer or a breakthrough or a response is the most disheartening kind of life you can lead. But this is the woman's life we're talking about. She got so tired and anxious, and so she decided to have a child because she thought, like most people think, or often people think erroneously, that having a child will somehow bring the marriage together, but it doesn't. It just creates more stress for the relationship. But she tries this child, and she's praying to God. She was a believer in God, and she said this, said, God, I know you see that I'm not in the right place and I'm not loved by my husband, so I'll name my son in response to that. Well, of course, the marriage didn't get better, it got worse. I don't know if you've ever tried to tackle a situation and the more you try, the worse it gets. The more you do at work, the worse the boss treats you. The more you try to reach out to your estranged relatives and the more they scorn you. The more you try to touch your neighbors, the more they don't want anything to do with you. But that's one of the most difficult moments to be rejected in your efforts to try to break through. And this woman's experience was just making her more exhausted. And so she decides to have another child. What on earth she was thinking, I have no idea, except she thought, this is the way to get my husband and get my relationship on track. So she has a second child, but nothing gets better. It just gets worse. And so she's getting more tired, more stressed, more anxious, more upset inside of her as her own natural resources are being depleted every single day. She's trying, she's energized, but every day she's being slapped down and knocked back. And so after a while, you get discouraged. I don't know if you've ever been discouraged. But it's a bad place to be in when your emotional energy seems like it's being stolen from you. There's a leech in your life taking it from you and you feel like you don't have anything enough for yourself anymore, let alone somebody else. And this woman is in that same place. And by the third child, life just got even more stressed, difficult, and hard to manage. Somewhere in between the third child and the next encounter, she has a revelation from God that changes her perspective, her outlook, her process, and her problem-solving attempts. And so in the between, she gets from God an understanding that it's not about her natural resources or the ability to be smart or the ability to try to wangle an outcome or to bring about a response from a husband that's looking in another direction. She suddenly gets a revelation that I need God to intervene in my life. The sooner you get the revelation, the sooner you'll be less stressed, less tired, less upset, less disfocused, and he gets you on track. That he holds an answer for you that's supernatural. So often as Christians, we look for the super spiritual answer, but God's looking for the supernatural answer. He's wanting to add the super to your natural. He's wanting to take what's in your mind but make it better. He's wanting to take what's in your heart and create a greater impact than ever before. And somewhere in the middle, she gets it. Wow. All that psychology, all of the medication, all of the attempts is not working. I need to reach out to God. And maybe you're here today and you've not ever reached out to God in the way this woman has. You're going to get an opportunity today. And I encourage you as I'm speaking that in your heart you would reach out to the God who loves you, created you and made you, and say, God, come into my life. Even as I'm speaking, ask him to come into your life, because he's wanting to. You are the object of his affection. You're the focus of his love, and he wants to bring purpose and transition and shifts and changes so that you experience the kind of pathway that Proverbs 3 says, in all your way acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That's what he's wanting to do to your life if you'll open up your heart to him like this woman did. Going through her own motions and suddenly has a change in focus, understanding and revelation. Because in the book of Genesis, where we read about this story, this woman's name is Leah. Her name means tired, stressed out, fatigued, anxious. It means all of those things that really are the outcome of living a self-energized life rather than a spirit-led life, a Holy Spirit-energized life. When you're trying to live it out of your own emotions, you get depleted. When you are living it out of the Holy Spirit, you get completed. It's a different kind of outcome, a different kind of energy that comes from within you when the Holy Spirit is guiding you, prompting you, and leading you. And today he wants to do that as you get a revelation like Leah did after her marriage to Jacob is not really working out so well. He loves another woman, and he doesn't love her. She's trying to fix the marital lack of harmony through her natural means, and it's not working. And I want to say today that her revelation is so profound, it reverberates down history to us today. It's so potent that it worked then, but it works now. It's so amazing that even though it was a revelation to her, if you catch the revelation, it'll change your life forever. And she says in verse 35, the first time these words have been uttered in the Bible, she says that she gives birth to the fourth child. She says these words, and it's on screen. It says, Leah conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time. Everybody say, this time. Everybody say it louder, this time. This time, she says, I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. It tells me she wasn't praising him before. It tells me that she was not in that zone where she understood the power of praise and the declaration of her words. She was living in a land of wishing. She was living by the wishing well of life. She was trying her best to hope for a change and work for a change, but nothing was changing, because unless God initiates a supernatural change, nothing really changes. When God says, let there be light, and light forms, it's the word of God that produces that kind of outcome. He wants to produce that outcome in you. And all it will take is one word, one sentence, one phrase, one thought, one idea, illuminated by the power of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly there's an explosion inside your spirit that pushes you forward into a new realm and a new destiny and a new outcome. This time I will praise the Lord. So she named him based on that confession with the name Judah. Judah means praise. It's the first time praise is mentioned in the Bible. We've heard about creation and about faith, but we've not heard about praise. But the moment she says those words, something happens, because the moment you praise, things begin to change. The first thing that happens for her is all the fatigue and all the striving starts to subside. All the anxiety starts to mellow out in her life, because it says from that point on, she stopped striving to have children. And at that point, she started to turn her focus towards God and towards instead of natural circumstances, to create a solution for what is an internal problem that only God can fix. In verse 35, we find that all her striving stopped. The next thing that happened is that her life changes forever. Your life will change forever when you align yourself and your mouth with the praise of God, and you understand that declaring over your life what God says about your life is what produces the life that you've always wanted. And so she stops striving, but her life begins to change, because she starts to understand that God is a God of order. Who's tried to order anything online recently? Put up your hand. From Amazon, from anywhere else, online. Have you noticed there's a protocol and a process, a username, a password, a particular protocol that you must go through in order to get access to the products that you desire? God's no different. He's a God of protocols. He's a God of process. He's a God that says, if you do this, this will happen. He's a cause and effect God. He says, if you put me first, all these things will be added unto you. He says, if you praise me, then I'll cause a breakthrough. He's a God of process and protocol because he knows what he's doing. He's a God of order. And so when you understand order and his order, then you start to apply that. Who's ever been online to order something and you've forgotten your password? Isn't it the most frustrating thing when you try to remember the one of the seven passwords that you have and you can't get it, and then suddenly the bank locks you out of your app and you can't get through and do anything? It's very frustrating. It's one thing to know to create and understand once off a password. It's another thing to remember it and apply it every single time till it becomes a habit of your life. But it's the same process every single time. You can't avoid the process of the password. You can't avoid the process of the name. Like going through an airport, you can't avoid the process of handing your passport to the immigration officer and them stamping it and looking at it and checking your passenger card is right. It's a process. But if you get the process right, it opens the doors to a whole new world. You're suddenly able to travel out of the country to another city, to another nation. You might find yourself drawn to a place, but you can't get to that place without the proper process and protocol, because the world runs on order when it runs its best. And God is a God of order that set up the process, and what we try to do is we try to circumnavigate the process instead of aligning ourselves with the process. And Leah suddenly aligns herself with the process, aligns herself with God's purpose. And what is God's order? Well, this is the order, very simply. Praise comes first. In order for you to access the next step, the supernatural resource, the miracle, praise is first. And nothing changes for Leah till praise is typed into the username of the access that she wanted to get to this other level. And you've got to realize that praise, I've got to realize that praise comes first. Oh, let me prove it to you. You see, because the Bible is full of this and you piece it together, you understand God's puzzle of how life works its best. And so we find out that her fourth born son, his name is Judah, which means praise. And because praise comes first, even though he's born fourth and therefore should get the fourth portion of the blessing, he becomes the person of greatest blessing, because in God's order, praise always goes to the top of the line. It always goes to the front of the queue, because that's God's process. You must praise him first, and then these things shall be happening to your life. Does it make sense? Let me give you an example. Think about Israel. What's the name of the people who live in Israel? They're called the Jews. Now, what's Jews short for? Anyone know? It's short for Judah. Did you know the national religion of Israel is what? Judaism. You see, when you are the fourth born, but God's order is first, you become the first. So he becomes the biggest tribe of all the tribes, because when God says you're first and this is my protocol and you follow it, guess what? Things start to happen. Guess what? Jesus came from Judah. Not from Simeon or Levi or Reuben. He comes from Judah. Why? Because praise births the Messiah. Praise births the wisest man in all the world. You want to birth wisdom in your life? Solomon was out of Judah. You want to birth wisdom in your life? It comes through praise. Not only that, King David, who was the greatest worshiper and king of the Old Testament, came through Judah as well. So if you want to birth a king's mindset in your life, if you want to birth a conqueror's mindset, then you need to understand that praise is the doorway to wisdom, to conquering, and to the Messiah and the answer to the world. Why? Because praise comes first. Don't your neighbor, touch them and say, praise comes first. It's incredible. Jesus is even named after him in the book of Revelation. It says about Jesus that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Benjamin. Judah. Why? Because in God's order, Judah must be first. Praise must be first. Praise will always cause you to rise to the top of the pile. It's really important understanding that we understand God's protocol. But here's the first thing that happens when you put praise first in your life. So you might be like Leah with all problems and you're anxious, worried, concerned, thoughtful about what's going on. But God says, listen, you can abandon all of that stuff and throw it all on me if you'll start to praise me for it, not just whine about it, not complain about it, but praise me for it. This is what God wants for you. It's so good that his outcome is so phenomenal that all he wants you to do is follow his protocol. Maybe you have to type in lost the password so he can send you a reminder of what your login details are, but praise is your login to his promises. So this is what happens. Let me tell you what's amazing about this. This is where we see it in practice in Genesis 37. Praise being first protects dreams. Praise is what God uses to wrap his angels around your dream, but he also uses it to protect the dreamer. Because what point is a dream if the dreamer's dead? What good is there a dream if the dreamer who dreamed it no longer can fulfill it? And so in the book of Genesis 37, we've gone on now, and Leah and Rachel have produced other children. And so now we've got a Joseph. Remember the story of Joseph? He had a dream. I have a dream. At 17, he sees his future, his destiny, like some of you have felt. It was when I was a teenager, I saw dreams. I saw my future, my vision. He's had a vision, but nobody wants to believe it or accept it. And not only that, they're offended by the dream. So what do? They decide in their primitive times that they're going to actually kill their brother. They're going to murder their brother. So they're about to throw him in a well, and we'll read it in chapter 37, and you would think that Reuben, who's the oldest, would be the one that would stick up for Joseph. You think maybe Simeon or Levi would have a clue, but who's the guy that steps in to wrap his thought process and protection around the dream and the dreamer? It's Judah. Let me read it to you. It says this: so when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the empty well. Judah, everybody say Judah. Judah, Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Let's not lay our hands on him. Who's the guy that protects the dream and the dreamer? It's praise. Who's the one that activates the protection that keeps Joseph from dying and the dream from dying with him? It's praise. What's going to stop your dream from dying? What's going to stop it from being sabotaged or being attacked by others? It's going to be praise. Praise surrounds the dream and the dreamer with a protective layer that keeps your faith going forward. Joseph never lost faith because there was somebody that protected the dream and the dreamer. When he saw his brother step up for him, he thought, there must be a God, because I thought I was going to die, but now I'm not. And praise is going to protect your dream, because there are so many things out there trying to attack, sabotage, ruin, and destroy your purpose. Praise creates a protective layer. It's like the SAS being assembled around you as a person when you praise God. God releases heaven's power to protect your dream. Because God was going to fulfill Joseph's dream. But who protects it? Praise. Judah. The second time we read it, it's incredible, is that praise protects you when you're vulnerable. You know, there are times in our lives where we feel particularly vulnerable. You may have lost somebody. You may be out of a relationship. You may have left a job. You feel particularly vulnerable in those seasons of transition. We read later on that after, you know, the grief of Joseph seemingly he's died, his father's led to believe he's died, but he hasn't. He's in Egypt, about to be exalted in front of a nation. And so he's now turned his attention to a little boy that he's called Benjamin. This little boy has become the apple of his eye. His name is Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. I have a Benjamin. He's 12 years of age, and he's a son of my right hand. I tell him every day, he says, son, you're going to be you are the son of my right hand. When the older boys are 26 and 24 have left me, you're going to be here to help me. And so Jacob had that kind of belief in Benjamin. But then there was a famine in the land, and so the boys went down to Egypt to get some grain. But while they were there, they were told, you can't get grain unless you bring your youngest brother, Benjamin, down as well. So after convincing their father, after much discussion and argument and grief, they bring their brother down to get grain. They're minding their own business, but then suddenly Benjamin is detained. He's now kept in a prison or kept in locked up. He's now no longer free to go. And so you would think at that point, the brothers, at least Reuben, the oldest, the one that's supposed to get the double portion, would have stepped in and said, listen, put me in jail instead and let my little brother go. You would think that when you're vulnerable, you need somebody that's strong and powerful to step up for you and be your advocate and be your defender. That should have been Reuben. Maybe it should have been Levi or Simeon. But what do we read as we read this chapter in chapter 44, is that the person that steps up to protect the vulnerable is praise. It says, then Judah went up to Joseph and said to him, please, my Lord, let your servant speak. And he begins to intercede. He begins to be an intermediary to try to release his brother. He's speaking about all the reasons why the captivity should end, why the bondage should finish. It's Judah that's trying to convince the Pharaoh of the land to let his brother go. You see, praise is the one that steps up to your defense in your moment of vulnerability. Because when you start to praise, it's like all of heaven's forces are mustered around about you. And instead of feeling downtrodden, instead of feeling captive or bound, suddenly you feel free. Suddenly you feel like this heaviness has left you and you've got a freedom now. Before, you couldn't see how you could get out of it. But as soon as you start to praise, you start to see, I'm going to make it through. Judah steps up for his brother, because that's what praise does for us. It steps up for us, and when we praise God, we defend ourselves. When we praise God, we protect our heart. When we praise God, we protect ourselves from grief and hurt and pain and suffering. When we step up and praise God, we surround our lives with a protective layer that protects us through all of life's transitions. But yet most Christians end up bruised and defeated. Why? Because they understand the role of praise to defend them in their time of vulnerability. Praise is not just a couple of praise songs at the beginning of a worship service, which is fast songs. This is about a declaration and a clapping of our hands and an expression of our mouth about the goodness of God, the greatness of God, and the finality of His purpose for our life. Oh, I feel excited. You see, praise protects you when you're vulnerable. It should have been Simeon, it should have been Levi, it should have been Reuben, but it's Judah who steps up. Nothing else is going to protect you from vulnerability, but praise will. What's so awesome about the order that God's established, the protocol, is that in God's kingdom, He's chosen certain things to do, certain things to activate other things. So He's chosen praise. And what He did was, in the Old Testament, he exemplified it and amplified it to us through the life of the children of Israel. And so Judah is one of the tribes. And so when they were on their nomadic existence, wandering through, they had a certain protocol and order. God always has order and protocol. And so He says, listen, when you assemble at nighttime, this tent group is going to park there. This tribe is going to put their tents up there, and this tribe is going to put their tents up there. And by the way, Judah is meant to, wherever you camp, it's meant to be on the far most east side or the west side facing the east of the encampment, of the assembling of the tents. Why? Because God says that the only thing that's supposed to greet a new day is praise. Judah had to welcome in the day in order for the rest of them to enjoy the day. So Judah's meant to praise in the day. Guess what? The best way to wake up is not whining or complaining or thinking or anxious. It's to wake up and determine to praise God in the morning. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the morning. Say, God, I praise You for this day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. There is no other beginning to the day that will unlock the supernatural of God for your day than praise. Why? I don't know. God just made it that way. So let's align ourselves with God's purpose instead of trying to whine our way through our problems. Does that make sense? Don't worry your way through your problems. Praise your way through your problems. It protects you when you're vulnerable, and it welcomes a new day. And God says the day is so full of potential, so pregnant with possibility, that nothing else will unlock it except praise welcoming it. When was the last time you woke up and started praising God in the morning? In those first few moments, when the alarm goes off, you think, oh my God, I gotta work. What about saying, God, thank you for a wonderful day. I praise you that today is gonna be awesome. Your day would be different because then you allow him to order your day for you. Things start to go smoothly. Most times we wake up, we're worried and concerned, whatever. And God says, no, praise your way into your morning breakfast. Praise your way into the shower. Praise your way into the bathroom. Praise your way to a new hairdo for the day. Praise your way to a new possibility. Praise is the cure for discouragement and heaviness and depression. In a day that prescribes more medication than ever before, in a world that's so full of discouragement and depression, dysfunction, because there's been a breakdown in family or relationships, abuse, rejection, or bullying at school, whatever it might be, all of those things eat away at who we are, our identity, our self-confidence, all those things. Still, many people today are on medication because of depression, because of heaviness in their spirit, heaviness on their lives. Well, let me tell you, while there's nothing wrong with taking medication if the doctor prescribes it, there's also a medication that God wants to prescribe to you, and it's called praise medication. It's called praise medication. The Bible says it this way: put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He's saying, come on, you want to get an antidote to discouragement, an antidote to depression? Put on praise. Come on, begin to praise your way out of discouragement. Praise your way out of depression. Praise your way out of heaviness. Praise your way out of grief. Praise your way out of all those things that are in your life. Oh, I like this, because this is God's word permeating our spirit and life. You see, I remember there was a day in my late teens where, after having a wonderful sporting career as a teenager and having I started to lose my hair. There's no other way to say it. I started to go bald. I started to get raptured a piece at a time. I'd look down in the drain as I was having a shower, and he goes, oh, there's some hair going to heaven. You know, one day I'll be reunited with that hair in the air. So anyway, I started to lose my hair. Well, that may not seem such a bad idea, except when you're 19, it's a really bad idea. It wasn't in the days where being bald was cool either. It was in the days when the comb-overs ruled. It was in the days where the 6-inch part was the norm for bald people. And so we don't want that to happen. And so I'm thinking to myself, I'd also been told growing up as a teenager, I had such nice hair. The girls always said to me, your hair is so nice. It makes you look handsome. It's not that hard to believe, is it? And so, as soon as I started losing my hair, what went through my mind? Identity crisis, self-image crisis. Some of us struggle with self-image crisis right now. We think we're too fat, we think we're too short, we think we're not smart enough, we think a whole bunch of things about ourselves because the world has tried to conform us to its image rather than us being conformed to God's image. And we wonder why we're discouraged and depressed, and we look at ourselves and we have fat days, we have ugly days. And you know what? I was having an ugly year as I was losing my hair. And I said to God, this is not right. This is not fair. How dare you take my hair away? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. That doesn't apply to me. I'm certainly not going to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Right? And so with my hair going, so is my looks. Then I thought to myself, I've got a desire to be a youth pastor. I'm going to be known as the first bald youth pastor in Australian history. That's not an attractive proposition. Who's the old guy leading the youth department? Well, he's only 20. I know he looks 60, but he's only 20. And so I tried everything. You know, before Rogaine was around, before, you know, when Ashley and Matt was the only con going on, you know what? It was amazing how I was losing my hair and I could do nothing about it. I tried rubbing all kinds of things into my hair to stop it falling out. But it just kept falling out, kept going to heaven. Bye-bye. And it made me depressed. It may not seem like a big deal to you. That's okay, you got your hair, good luck. But I didn't have my hair. Don't judge another man's trouble. It was a big deal to me, and I said to God, you're unfair. How dare you do this to me? In fact, I used to do all kinds of things and say things to God. God, if you don't give me my hair back, I'm not going to serve you. Anyone ever threatened God before? I tried doing deals with God. God, if you give me my hair back, I'll be the best ever. I know I'll be the best looking youth pastor ever in history. Give me my hair back. You know that we could grow the kingdom a lot better if I've got hair. I tried all kinds of things, honestly. I tried growing a beard and pulling my head in. That didn't help. I tried all kinds of things to overcome this problem, but I just got more and more depressed, more and more discouraged, more and more. Every day I became obsessed. My OCD started with looking at my hair going, my, it's marching back again and again and again. I had the waves, now I've got the beach, and I'm thinking to myself, what's going on? And I remember being really angry at God and depressed. And my mother said to me one day, Ashley, I noticed you're really down and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you would be too if you lost your hair. And she says to me, Ashley, I want to encourage you to praise God for losing your hair. I said, I rebuked her like she was the devil. How dare you say that to me? It's not your hair. You're losing. I'm losing my hair. How dare you tell me to praise God? I'm not praising God for something I hate. Anyway, after 2 years where life went nowhere and I just stayed in my little pity party, I decided, okay, God, I'm so had enough of myself. I was like Leah. I got to the end of myself. It's not working what I'm doing. So maybe it's time to do something different. Some of us have been in the same cycle of pity, the same cycle of self-image challenges, the same heaviness for a long, long time. And maybe it's time to change your tactics. Maybe it's time to change. Who's ever been that person that tried to type in your password 17 times, hoping it would be the same one? It's got to be they got the caps wrong. I must have got a word wrong. I must have got a letter wrong. And you keep trying to put your password in, and it keeps coming up with it's not working. Some of you are trying the same thing and getting up the same result. So that was me. So I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to do what my mum said because I'm so desperate. But I'm not going to mean it. Because I don't like it. So I said to God, I remember I was working in the bank then, the Commonwealth Bank at that time, and I remember saying to God, okay, I praise you for this, but I don't really like it, and I think you're really mean and nasty. Okay, God, I praise you for it, even though I don't really believe it. And I began to say all these things. I was abusing God while I was praising him. Anyone ever done that before? Abuse God while you're praising him? Thank you, Lord, for nothing. You know, so all those kinds of things. And that was me. Anyway, I did it one day, and I went for 10 minutes, nothing changed. Another 10 minutes, nothing changed. Another 10 minutes, nothing changed. But about 30 minutes, 35 minutes, and then 40 minutes, I suddenly felt the spirit of heaviness lift because the garment of praise had been put on, and a lightness came to my spirit, and I was walking across the road between branches, and I started to remember getting really excited. I said, God, I praise you for it, and I was serious now. Oh, I thank you for losing my hair. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful for it, and I was serious. Because now I had the garment of praise. When you got the garment of praise, you say things that later on you think, did I really say that? Yeah. And things were going well, and I was doing really well for 2 days till I looked in the mirror. Oh my goodness, it's gone back another inch. The garment of heaviness comes down, the spirit of heaviness. So I had to do it all over again. And I had to do that every single day for about 3 months. And after 3 months, it was like, finally, instead of putting the garment on and taking it off, putting it on, taking it off, putting it on, taking it off, suddenly I began to wear it as part of my lifestyle. Suddenly it became a habit in my life. And suddenly the heaviness stopped coming to visit my house. Suddenly the heaviness disappeared. And suddenly I got happy and see, this is how God works. I didn't know, but 10, 15 years later, we had a prophet come through the church and he said to me, Ashley, I've never met you before. I don't know anything about you, but I do know this, that God sent me here to tell you that you are going to be the pastor of this church. And God wants you to know it's a good thing you lost your hair. I said, really? Why? He goes, because you look too young to pastor a big church. And God's taking your hair so the older people will accept your leadership and so you can lead them into a great destiny. So, wow, why didn't you tell me that 15 years ago? Thank you, Jesus. I appreciate it. Because God says it's a walk by faith. You just start praising me by faith and then you'll start to see the results and see what happens in your life. Then you'll see the changes. Oh, I'm excited. I tell you what. Praise is the entry point to hearing from God. Let me go through this quickly here. See, in the Old Testament, they would have a system, and God had a protocol back then. So they had a tent, and in the tent, there was an entrance, there was a door at this end, and then at the other end, there was the Holy of Holies where the manifest presence of God came. So what God says is, listen, because I'm a God of order, again, I want Judah to camp on this east side. And so what's going to happen is, in order to get to my presence, you have to go past praise. And then Psalm 100 says, enter his courts with thanksgiving, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. If you do that, then you start to move to the next step towards the presence of God, towards the miracle, towards the touch of God, towards the outpouring of miracles over your life. But you can't get to the Holy of Holies if you don't go through praise. Does that make sense? So it's the entry point to hearing from God. The next thing is this. There's two more points I'll share with you. The first point is this, is that praise releases the power of God in your life. Some of us need the power of God released in our life today. There's issues in your finance, issues in your relationships, issues at work, issues at university, issues at school, wherever it is, there are some challenges. There's some things that aren't breaking your way. Well, God never said it'd be perfect, but he did say, I'll give you an answer that helps you to surf the waves of life. There are two options. You can either swim in the ocean of life, or you can surf the ocean of life. The ocean of life is going to be the ocean of life. How you treat it and how you traverse it will depend on you. Do you walk on the water or struggle in the water? The water will always be there. But if you praise him, you will not be drowned. The fire will always be there, but if you praise him, you won't be burnt. My mum had struggled for many years with all kinds of, she had a nervous breakdown, she struggled with all kinds of health issues. And so one day she's reading a book called From Prison to Praise by Merlin Carruthers, an old book now. And she got a revelation like Leah that it was about praise. She started to praise God, praise God, praise God, like I was talking about, where it became a lifestyle, not just a moment in time, not just an entry to a service, but it was part of a lifestyle. And she's in a service like this one day, sick, unable to move forward. But she's been praising God. She's been putting on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. She's been preparing herself for the power of God to be unleashed and released. She's been following the protocol, coming through the gates of praise towards the presence of God where the miracles are. And the man stood up and he said, listen, there are people here that are sick. And I'm about to pray for you, and I'm going to wave my hand across this audience. And when I do, people are going to be healed all over this place. Well, when he waved his hand and he prayed, 400 people just hit the floor like a truck had just come through, like a bomb had just gone off. Boom! My mum was one of them. She went down sick, but got up well. She went down with all kinds of problems, but got up with victory in her life. And you know what? It came because she started with praise, but ended with the presence of God. She started with praise out of her mouth and ended with a miracle that changed her life. Whatever you're facing today, you start with praise and you end with a miracle. You start with a declaration of goodness and you end with an answer. You start with a breakthrough shout and you end with an answer that transforms your future and your life. It's time to praise. The last thing, very last thing is this. You see, what my mum decided was this. Who's going to be in control of my life? Is it God? Is it the devil? Is it people? Is it your boss? Is it an ex? Is it somebody, your wife, your husband, or is it God? When you praise him, you're saying, I believe God's in charge. Praise is the language of those that believe God wins the day. You need to know that he's working all things together for your good. Praise tells you that you believe he is working towards your good. I shared this in the other services, but you know, my wife is a great cook, and she, when our kids were little, the older ones, she used to make a vegetable pie. Now, the kids hated vegetables, as most kids do, but if they saw lined up on the bench, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the broccoli, the carrots, and all the other vegetables, they'd be going, oh no, what's for dinner? But Jane would get all those ingredients that on their own look nasty, and put them in a bowl, put her secret sauce in there, mix it all together, work it all together, and then when the boys came to dinner, she presented the pie, and as they started to eat, they go, oh, this is great, Mum, can I have some more? Can I have some more? Can I have some more? And God began to speak to me and said, listen, if you look at all the incidents of your life, you look at losing your hair, you look at being abused, you look at being rejected, you look at being overlooked, you look at that financial problem, all of them seem bad on their own. But when you praise me, you allow me to take my magic spoon and take all of that stuff and begin to work it together and work it together for your good. Because at the end of that working, I feel different. I'm a champion. I'm a victorious person. I'm not a victim anymore. I'm able to triumph over everything.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray that you were truly blessed by what you heard. For more details, check out planetshakers.com.